well, am I supposed to tip you because you took my order? But you're like, you're the cashier. Like, that's your, but then, and it's always like super like awkward because like, what if people are standing behind me and they see that I don't, because, you know, everything's down like those giant iPads.
Yeah.
So it, you, people could see if you like tip or not. And like, what if I'm like in front of someone that likes to tip and they're like, man, this fucking dick. Like, if they think that 20% is standard for just an over-the-counter meal, which is bananas. That's not a thing.
Do you tip but, at those type of places?
Honestly, sometimes I feel like I'm forced to. Like, but not like 20%. Like, I'll just do like a dollar.
I don't tip. Like, I don't tip at Panera Bread. That's ridiculous. It's like tipping at Subway. I'm not going to tip you at Subway.
Yeah. I guess I get bullied into it more often than I'd like to. So,
but you're not actually bullied. You're just bullied by your own conscience.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah, that's correct. My own conscience is saying, like, you know, you're going to look like an asshole right now if you don't tip. Like, ah, I know, but like, what do they do? And it's like, but people behind you, what do they think? It's like, well, they'll probably think I'm an asshole.
Wicked smart, wicked cool, wicked fucking stupid, whatever the fuck, something wicked.
I'm baking like a toasted Caesar, it's so hot here!
My boy's wicked smart.
Because the boy is hotter than hot, he's hot.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
We still recording?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're good.
Which, speaking of which, welcome back everybody to another episode of Wicked Hot. I got a level with you guys. This is actually being recorded yesterday, which if you're listening to Monday, that means we're recording this on Sunday. And I'm sure people are wondering why, because we normally record this on Friday. Well, after a brilliant 2-hour episode, we actually weren't recording at all.
I don't like to say we weren't recording at all because it did record 2 minutes of the first like hour that we talked before we even did the podcast.
That's true. I'm not saying that Kevin forgot to turn the record button on. I'm saying like some powers outside just didn't want us to succeed. So I almost feel like we should, as a joke, call this like episode 7.5. And episode 7 is basically as legendary as the Wu-Tang album that was never released. So like that episode, you'll never ever listen to that episode, so you'll have to bear with us. Kevin and John, by the way, forgot about that. you'll have to bear with us because we did kind of switch it up a little bit, but as far as like the content itself, two of the things are the same, so me and Kevin may be still hearing this for the first time, although we made sure to have a very long past nights on Friday and Saturday to hopefully enough debauchery would make us forget everything that happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kevin, how were those past 2 days?
I was really pissed off on Friday because, like, I mean, it happens. Like, if you've been in pod, like, this is close to probably our 100th episode that we've recorded, and this is the first time that's happened. So it was bound to happen at some point.
That is very true. Are we recording still?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have the computer recorder going, which is what I normally use, and then I have everything going to an external Zoom recorder that's recording to like a card. So we got backups going right now.
And Kevin also has his iPhone recorder, you know, the little record app that you have that comes standard, that's on. So that's going. Yeah, I have my OBS going. I have my iPhone. I also have a scribe behind me writing down the entire transcript of this episode. So he's doing well. He's waving at me.
Nice. Yeah, if you're listening to this on Monday and it sounds really bad, you probably got one of the iPhone recordings. And if it's only text, you definitely got the scribe.
Yeah. That's if you're using like Google Play or like Stitcher or something.
Yeah.
Cuz everyone knows the iTunes one is the premier recording. Okay, yeah, so a little backstory into this week's episode. We got assholes. So we threw out a picture, like we promised, for the first time on Instagram, and I think I put it on Twitter as well.
Yeah, I put it on the show Twitter and Instagram. You tweeted it.
Okay.
So it was out there.
Yeah, so we posted a picture of Christian Bale in Terminator Salvation. And Kevin, we got a couple guesses right as to what the episode was.
We did, yeah. Actually, the Final Boys was the closest on Instagram. They said onset blow-ups, which is very close.
It is very close. So obviously we're going over assholes on set. So not necessarily like specific blow-ups from people, but just more history of actors who, and I just want to preface this, either allegedly or in fact did happen and have multiple instances of douchebaggery on set. I do want to say this, Kat, I did hate myself a little bit for having to go to different sites that were like gossip sites. I had to really start do digging to make sure I had like legitimate things that weren't like E! Home of the Kardashians or something like that.
Or it's just like you look at the link and it just looks like a shady, like, am I gonna get a virus from this? Like, what is this?
Yeah, it's like, and it doesn't, and then like .com, it's like dot like IE or some yeah. weird
what
shit.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. I only know .net and .org. What's happening?
Yeah, it felt really weird going to these sites, especially like these are not my type of sites, but a lot of this stuff that we found can be corroborated between multiple sources. So it's not like just some gossip that's out there. It's like
on Reddit. It's like Reddit stories.
Yeah. Yeah. It's none of those.
Like, oh my God, Leonardo DiCaprio was at my restaurant. He didn't tip me 20%. What an asshole. So, yeah, none of that stuff. This is all, it all happened on set. We're not going to go over shit that happens in their personal lives because we're not assholes.
Wait a minute, Doc. Well, what are you talking about? What happens to us in the future? What, do we become assholes or something?
It's funny because despite this, like, these guys on set, like, I don't have a meltdown at work when they run out of coffee. Like, I'm still at work. We still kind of have to be professional. These guys are assholes because they just are, like, they don't give a fuck. They're just like, I'm just going to do this because I'm going to, and that's it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, like, Hollywood's such a small community and, like, a small group of people. It's funny that you, like, burned so many bridges in a matter of 3 months. On a
yeah, one scene. Yeah, honestly. Yeah, so my first one here, I have got... I'll just start with this. I love this actor, love his movies, but sometimes greatness can come at a cost. And it's just interesting, the stories of the behaviors of this guy and yours and mine. But I have the star of both Gladiator and would-be Gladiator 2, Christ Killer. Callback. Russell Crowe. So Russell Crowe, obviously, this one is more of just like kind of a known thing. He's known to be a very volatile asshole outside of the set. But as always, you know, if he's one for consistency.
He's not the type of guy that I would go up to and ask for an autograph.
No, definitely not. Yeah. So Russell Crowe is basically Bud White from L.A. Confidential. Which is his first role. If anyone who doesn't know who Bud White is or LA Confidential is, LA Confidential is a movie that was, his character was like a drunk cop that just wanted to fight everyone, which.
It was a damn good movie.
It was a damn good movie. But minus the cop part, that's Russell Crowe.
It is.
Bud, you know, gets drunk and wants to fight everyone. That's him. But yeah, one of the most interesting stories here is that during filming of Gladiator, Crowe would actually go into script meetings with Ridley Scott, who is the director, and writers, and insult the script and just walk out. He just show up for the rewrites and he's like, this is shit, and just fucking walk out. So Scott eventually would have to talk to him about it, and Crow begrudgingly agreed, and he said he just spit out lines, which is, I mean, it's Gladiator, like Best Picture Gladiator. Like, you just fucking spit out lines.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, this is the guy that had the idea for Gladiator 2 Christ Killer, and he's like, no, these lines are shit. This is garbage.
This Oscar movie is awful. But yeah, so it's funny because how good the movie is, how good, and even if that's Russell Crowe spitting out lines, like, do you think he's ever tried hard? Because then we've never even seen that Russell Crowe.
I know. If that's a Russell Crowe, like, phoning it in, I would love to see a Russell Crowe really trying.
God, like, I can't even imagine how much better Gladiator would have been if he wasn't being lazy. But, yeah, it's funny because for a specific line, when Maximus reveals himself to Commodus and he says, you know, I'm Maximus and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. The most important line in the movie, Russell Crowe refused to do it because how stupid he thought it sounded. Ridley Scott actually ended up shooting the scene Russell Crowe's way. Crowe, like he would, thought it was shit. And so then they shot it Ridley Scott's way, which, as we know, is the scene that got into the movie. And it was great, obviously. And Russell Crowe said he still thought it sounded like shit.
So the better version still sounded like shit, but did he prefer? I don't understand. So if he thought it was shit, like, what line could have been better there? Obviously, it wasn't Russell Crowe's line.
Well, Russell Crowe was probably like, hey, bitch, like, I'm Maximus and you didn't kill me. Oh, by the way, I fucked your mama or something like that. Like some crazy shit like that. Yeah, I don't know how much better that could have. Gone.
That's a pretty badass line, like, before you're about to go try to kill somebody.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, so he actually ended up saying that, oh, it turned out, like, after the movie came out and everything, he's like, yeah, it turned great because even though it was a shit line, I'm such a great actor that I make even shit sound good. Which is...
That sounds like such a Russell Crowe thing.
It is.
He's probably like, I could have just walked out there and farted into the mic and it would have got an Oscar.
Yeah, totally.
That seems like his personality.
Again, if he's phoning it in every movie he's doing, like, fuck. Good job. Like, I could understand. Like, if he did fart in the wind, it would get an Oscar. At this point, if that's like, that's what it, like, I'm pretty sure, like Russell Crowe doing like fart and like dumb like prank movies probably gets him to like the caliber of like Eddie Murphy as far as like funny. If we're in this bizarro Russell Crowe world where he can't not be good. But then he's also blown up on a reporter during like the press tour for Robin Hood saying the reporter basically told him that the accent he was using was Irish, and he blew up on him and he's like, you don't know, you gotta clean out your fucking ears, like, that's not what it sounds like. So pretty.
Was the reporter from what country was the reporter from?
I don't know. I'm hoping it was the National Enquirer though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thoughts on Russell Crowe?
He looks like a dick. He acts like a dick. So therefore he is a dick, I guess. Yeah. I've known that he's been an asshole before. I've just never heard any of the stories.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know if there's any sort of like defense for this. Cause sometimes like people can defend douchey things for certain reasons, but this is just complete total asshole behavior.
Yeah, it's prima donna shit.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of prima donnas, who's your next pick?
My next pick is a woman. Would this be a dick or I guess I could still say asshole.
Yeah.
Apparently she's an asshole. It's Julia Roberts. And I never would have expected this because she's still... she seems like America's sweetheart. At least maybe 10 years ago.
I'm like, dude, this bitch is like fucking 45, America's sweetheart.
No, I'm talking like 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago.
Was she like a child actress? I can't even remember.
No,
because that's where I feel
so.
Like sweetheart goes to is like child actresses.
No, that couldn't be more wrong.
Okay.
So apparently, I always thought she seemed like a nice person, but apparently she's horrible to work with on set, and it kind of came out when she was doing Hook. She's Tinkerbell. The crew actually named her Tinker Hell because she was so difficult to work with. such a good
creative name.
So apparently at the time she was engaged to Kiefer Sutherland. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, still don't know that after hearing it for the second time. Completely forgot.
So they broke up like right as the production was starting, and she just left the country, like left the set, left the country, and wanted to like hide out for a while.
Because of the divorce?
Because of the breakup.
Oh, right.
They were married. About to get married.
Okay. So, but where'd she go to?
She went to Ireland. And
that's a weird place to go.
It is a weird place. I think they were shooting in California, so it was quite the trip.
Well, that's far. Yeah, that's a far. That's far. Yeah.
So Steven Spielberg called her and it was like, where the fuck are you? And she said, well, I'm in Ireland. And she didn't want to come back. And he said, if you're not here tomorrow, you're fired. So
how far along were they in production?
They were like just into it. So they could have replaced her if they wanted to. And I think that's what scared her is like,
I was going to say,
I could easily be replaced.
If they had to do reshoots, that would have sucked.
Yeah. So she did come back. And then, so since she's suspended up in the air pretty much the entire movie, she flies. She had an assistant that was just there, like her sole responsibility was to wash Julie Roberts' feet in between takes.
With like a sponge and a little Tupperware bowl of water? Like,
that's what I'm thinking, a little Tupperware and a sponge with like some soapy Dawn dish soap water.
I don't think you wash Julia Roberts' feet with dish soap. I think she'd be pretty pissed if it was like Dawn dish soap.
You think it's got to be like some specialty body wash?
It was probably like a salt scrub from like Lush.
I hate that I know what that is. I hate that I know what you're talking about.
That is, by the way, as far as like you're wondering why she's not like blackballed.
Yeah.
You said that, right?
Yeah.
I think they took it out on her brother, Eric Roberts. They were like, you know what? She actually kind of makes good movies. Like, fuck you, Eric Roberts. We got to fuck somebody in the Roberts family.
Yeah, I could see that. Cause even like shortly after the movie wrapped, Steven Spielberg was being interviewed and they asked about Julia Roberts specifically and asked how she was to work with, not knowing that she was like this horrible person.
Right.
And he didn't want to answer the question. And so they asked him, would he ever work with Julia Roberts again? And he just flat out said no.
Mm.
Which like, how did that not blackball her? If one of the biggest directors, especially at that time, doesn't want to work with you, something's got to be wrong.
Right. And I mean, it happened with Shia LaBeouf for Indiana Jones 4. Right. 4. Yeah. Like with Shia LaBeouf, he said the movie was shit, like publicly. He's like, the movie's garbage. And Steven Spielberg was really pissed off about that.
Did Spielberg actually direct that one?
He did. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought he was just the executive producer.
Nope. He that was Spielberg magic.
That's unfortunate.
I feel like we've said this before. Spielberg's magic has pretty much been gone.
It's ended.
It's definitely. I don't know. I'm holding out for Ready Player One. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. He hasn't done anything good recently.
No. So speaking of people that we've covered in a way in the past, I don't know why I said speaking of, because we weren't really. Well, Steven Spielberg. So I was like, why am I saying speaking of? That doesn't make sense. I want to just give a call back to a movie we spoke about, which is good movie / bad movie, Blade, and the star, Wesley Snipes. So Wesley Snipes is my next asshole on set. His most infamous onset bout is when filming the worst of the series, and I'm gonna say it right this time, Blade Trinity. Because every other time I said Blade Trinology or Trilogy. But yeah, so backstory on this. Snipes refused to do any scenes except for close-up shots for the third movie.
What?
Yeah, he actually, so if you rewatch Blade Trinity, any scene that's like fight, just anything that's not showing his face up close is not Wesley Snipes.
Damn.
So Blade, Wesley Snipes is like, I don't know how many close-ups there are in this movie. I probably should have researched how many close-ups they were, but he's basically like not in the movie.
That's a power move right there. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'll do your movie, but if you're not showing my face, I'm not even gonna be on set, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, it's funny because he was actually method acting Blade, which is a whole other thing. But if you think a more power move would be if Blade, it was just Wesley Snipes neck up, all of his costume was just his sunglasses, and he wore like a bathrobe. So like in every scene he was wearing a bathrobe, but you never saw it because all you would see is neck up, just the Blade sunglasses.
I would love to see a production photo of him being Blade on set, like in a scene, and he's just wearing like a silk robe that's like really way too short. And then he's just got the fucking Blade head with the Blade glasses.
And he's got like flip-flops or slides on. Like that's, yeah. He's like, all right, I'm done. I'm going back to my trailer. But yeah, so that was the other thing. He would just stay in his trailer, smoke a bunch of weed until his close-up shot was being shot. It's funny because, so Patton Oswalt, according to him, there was a day of the shoot. this story. A day of the shoot where people got to wear their street clothes. Like, you know, whatever the clothes they had on him, they could wear. And another black gentleman on set decided to wear a t-shirt that said garbage on it. And I'm assuming it's the band, because like Blade Trinity was what, like early 2000s? I feel like Garbage, the band, was still pretty big.
I think so.
Or like, not big, but anyway, but
it was a band that was doing stuff at the time.
Right, right. So I could understand why he had this shirt. Again, black guy, the shirt is his. He owns it. Snipes ends up coming to set that day, and he saw that the only black guy in the movie, aside from himself, had a shirt that said garbage on it. And per Patton Oswalt, Wesley Snipes said, there's only one other black guy in the movie, and you make him wear a shirt that says garbage. You racist motherfucker. And apparently he tried to choke out the director-writer, David S. Goyer, call back to another episode. So after that whole incident, Wesley Snipes told Goyer that he should quit the movie. Like, David S. Goyer should quit after he just got choked out by Wesley Snipes.
This is also David S. Goyer's first experience ever directing. That's not good on your resume.
No, it's not.
Almost got choked out by the lead actor.
Yeah. But yeah, so Goyer then responded, like, he did like the no you meme, like, no, you should quit. And that scared Snipes. And so he's like, we already have all your shots, so you can just leave. Like, we don't need you anymore. And so Wesley Snipes, which I still don't really understand why he was afraid. It's like he just showed up to set to not go to work.
He's going
to
get paid either way. If he's on set right. or not, he's going to get paid.
Right. Right. It just didn't make sense. The fact that he was scared about it. He's like, oh, I don't know now. I'm going to. Because it's like he shows up to work and doesn't do anything. So
yeah.
I didn't understand, like, has it like, oh, shit, maybe I should chill a little bit. But yeah, so it scared Snipes. And from then on, Wesley Snipes, again, this is as Blade. Wesley Snipes is, I failed to mention this, but he is a method acting as Blade so throughout this entire experience.
I'm picturing, like, when he's sitting with David S. Goyer, he's got the Blade vest on, the sword in the back, and the sunglasses on. And he's got the fangs in.
Yeah.
I can't, how could you take him seriously?
Or David S. Goyer is harder than we thought. Like, if you're sitting down with Blade and you're like, no, fuck you. You get off the set. Like, and you scare Blade. Now that's just kind of like destroying the first in, well, all the trilogy, not the Trinity, the trilogy. Destroying the trilogy. It's basically like Blade's a bitch because we know David S. Goyer just stood up to him and Blade didn't like chop his head off or something.
Yeah, maybe David S. Goyer is a straight baller.
Yeah.
Maybe. And Blade didn't want to fuck with him.
Maybe.
It's ridiculous that Blade came on set and saw everyone in street clothes, but thought that like David S. Goyer specifically talked to this black guy and was like, everyone else gets to wear their normal shit. You have to wear a fucking garbage shirt, motherfucker. If Blade had just taken a step back and been like, wait, that's probably how I don't think it happened like that. He could have just gone about his day without choking out the director.
He could have. He could have gone back to just killing vampires is what he does best. Yeah, but it's funny because after that whole incident, Blade only communicated to the director via post-it notes. And he even signed the notes as Blade. So he'll say, like, his response to the director, and at the end of it will say, Blade. So, in his defense, though, because I was
how
reading a little
high
bit more,
did he get?
Oh, I'm sure he was like, God.
I just even in the trailer, just like, so he's like, oh, fucking Blade, man. You want to hold this sword? And he's just like fucking high out of his mind.
Yeah. Well, now we know why Blade wears the sunglasses.
Because his eyes are so red. They're like, damn it, Wesley, your eyes are so red again.
It's like, you know, that would have been crazy if that's the gaffe behind the whole thing. Like, they just gave him sunglasses. Like, dude, we can't. Although, doesn't he have, like, white eyes?
He has some weird eyes, I thought.
Like, yeah. Dude, those things must be, like, fucking dried on his goddamn, like, cornea. Like, he must have to wait, like, a couple hours before taking those off.
He's probably got drops like on hand, ready to go.
Oh yeah, 100%, and a little Tupperware. yeah. So, in his defense, I will say this: he hated the script. He felt like he was ambushed with the choices of his co-stars, plus David S. Goyer coming back. He felt overshadowed by Jessica Biel and who else was in it?
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah.
But most importantly, he felt disrespected. Because as pointed out prior, only two black guys clearly on the set,
and one of them is apparently garbage,
and it was all white people. So I think he was kind of felt slighted by all those things.
Yeah, I could see that as a black actor showing up to set and just like all the crew, all the actors, everybody on set's white. You're like, fuck,
yeah,
nothing really. Wow.
Yeah, because he said the first two movies were like culturally, like multicultural,
yeah,
as far as like multiple people that were like just not white people working. So he felt like a little, I guess, I don't know the best word, like isolated, I guess is probably the best word.
Yeah, I could,
which
totally
makes sense.
See that. Yeah,
which makes sense.
It does,
but you don't choke out a director.
That's taking it a little too far.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Imagine going in and trying to choke your boss and then, like, still thinking that you have a job.
Oh, yeah. So it's funny. So we also have a, just like Wesley Snipes played a superhero, you also have a superhero that is not so super or hero when it comes to being on set.
Yeah. So this, actually, speaking of actors that hated the original scripts, apparently on the set of Hulk or the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton, he hated the script. And he let it be known that he wanted complete, like, rewrites to the entire script. And he was going to do them. So he did all these rewrites to the script. He actually turned the movie down. And they came back to him and said, all right, you can make some rewrites. And then, you know, we'll do the movie together. So he agreed.
So the movie we saw was the Edward Norton?
No, it was. So they, when they were filming the movie, they filmed pretty much everything that Ed Norton wanted to do and everything the director wanted to do. So there's two entirely different cuts in the movie. So what they did was they took both edits and put them together. And apparently everybody that saw the movie hated it. So they had to go back and re-edit it because Edward Norton refused to do reshoots on the movie at all.
Jesus.
Which I thought was... like built into the contract that you had to, like, do reshoots or you had to finish the movie.
Maybe not, because when that whole all the money in the world thing happened, where Mark Wahlberg got like $1 million and Michelle Williams got like 10 grand, I'm pretty sure that was like that was their incentive to do it.
Oh, to do reshoots? Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So maybe it's not in contracts.
Yeah. So maybe the moral of the story is the studio offered Ed Norton $1 million and he was like, no, fuck you.
That's even worse knowing that he probably was going to get paid more.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were, me and Kathy been watching the Marvel movies. And when we got to Incredible Hulk, one of my least favorite of this series, by the way, and we found that obviously Mark Ruffalo replaced him. I kind of went back and wanted to know why they replaced him.
Right.
Apparently, everyone on set hated him, and the studio even said, which is like really rare, they came out and said he was horrible to work with. We didn't want to work with him again.
Jesus.
And then they cast Ruffalo.
So was Ed Norton gonna? Would he have come back? Was he planning on coming?
Yeah,
back?
He was. Everything was planned to come back. And I guess they never gave him the option to come back.
Damn.
So, and he even said that he didn't want to get stuck playing, after he was fired, of course.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want to get stuck playing the same character. And he said basically that it destroyed Robert Downey Jr.'s career. And I think he means that, I'm just guessing here, because Robert Downey Jr. seems to do pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he means that he's like stuck playing Iron Man. He can't do anything else.
Yeah,
which
I mean, that makes sense. When's the last thing that Edward Norton did, though?
I think
Robert Downey Jr. did like 20 more movies.
Birdman, I think, was his last movie.
Okay,
but before that, was like nothing really.
Yeah,
the whole studio coming out and saying that he was horrible to work with, pretty much did what it should have done to Julia Roberts and blackballed him.
And what happened to Eric Roberts? Yeah. So for the first time, we can put Edward Norton and Eric Roberts on the same playing field. Hey, at least Eric Roberts was in the Dark Knight trilogy. So there's that.
That is true. Yeah, Edward Norton.
He's been in more superhero movies than Edward Norton has.
That's true. That is true. I would have liked to have seen him because I like... Even though I really like Mark Ruffalo, I hate having like the first movie and then a different actor. Like, if it were Mark Ruffalo in the beginning, it would have been like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Like the Terrence Howard situation.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Terrence Howard. Even though Don Cheadle is so much better, it's like if they had just put Don Cheadle in the movie to begin with.
Yeah.
Because they knew Terrence Howard was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he's Terrence Howard math, right? That's that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The map that's named after him? Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I probably should have caught that one. All right, cool. Well, we since again we have our technical difficulties with Friday's episode, we wanted to kind of switch it up a little bit. So instead of just all actors on set that are assholes, we figured we'd touch on assholes that were fictional. So we're just going to give a little rundown on our favorite assholes, or I guess not favorite, or the most asshole-y of assholes in movies as characters.
I got to say, fictional assholes would be a great grunge rock band name.
Ooh, I would agree. Do they sound like this? Like, yeah, 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 fictional assholes.
Yeah, they sound like Nickelback.
Yeah. Ooh, not a good, not a good name. Yeah, so my first guy is Hart Bochner as Harry Ellis in Die Hard 1, a.k.a. Die Hard, a.k.a. Die Hard 1988. but yeah, there are many things that technically can make you look like an asshole, but being a business slash Wall Street asshole has to take the cake. And my guy arguably beats out Gordon Gekko and Jordan Belfort in douchebaggery as a Nakatomi executive. He beats out both of them. So if you don't remember Ellis, he's the guy that would consistently hit on Holly Gennaro, which is John McClane's wife, did coke on her desk, was just all in all a bag of dicks. And he especially gets top asshole in my book because he makes matters a lot worse when he's trying to negotiate with Hans Gruber, when John McClane starts making it difficult for the terrorists. Despite all his used car salesman spiel, he still manages to get himself killed. He's literally like one of the worst, like, douchiest characters ever. He talks loud, he's fast, he's basically a used car salesman in a $1,000 suit.
He does look like a used car salesman. Everything that comes out of his mouth is like, feels weird. It's like slimy. It's like,
yeah, well, he looks slimy. Yeah. He's got like that really asshole beard. He's got an like asshole beard.
Yeah.
Where it's like a beard but not like a full beard. It's like not 5 o'clock shadow, not a beard. It's just like the in-between.
The in-between beard.
And he's got like that long, nasty hair. He's just a prick. He just looks like a prick. And then he goes to talking to these terrorists like, I get these guys, you know? And, oh, comes to bite him back in the ass.
Yeah, he's way too cocky.
Yeah, agreed. It's actually funny. So director John McTiernan actually hated the way that the actor portrayed Ellis. He didn't like the usage of coke, and he also didn't like that he was so hyper and he never shut the fuck up.
McTiernan, this is the director saying
the director,
this?
The director.
Yeah. That's bad on his part. Yeah. It's like, I don't like the way this guy did it, but you're directing him to do this shit. Yeah.
So apparently John McTiernan wanted a smooth, like Cary Grant type and told him to like cut it out, like stop doing it this way. This guy actually just said kind of like, I'm going to still keep fucking doing it this way. And eventually two producers for the movie were on set and saw his performance and they actually loved it. And they told McTiernan to they loved it. And McTiernan told the actor played Harry Ellis to just do whatever he wanted from now on.
That's smart.
So, and yeah, and he and the guy basically ad-libbed the entire movie, especially when he's like, Hans, Bubby, I'm your white knight. That was all of his lines were basically ad-libbed. He basically improv'd the entire role.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And now he's
nowhere.
He's like a nobody, right?
Yeah. John McTiernan's like, do whatever you want, but you'll never work again.
Do whatever you want because it'll be the last time you fucking work.
Yeah. So who do you got as your next asshole, man?
My next asshole is the sneakily second villain in the Harry Potter series. And we all know Voldemort's like number one, but this is like a 1B right here. I'm talking about James Potter, Harry's dad. If you've seen the movies and read the books, you might not think that he's the villain. But if you look back on all the shit that he does, he basically bullies Snape and, well, pretty much just Snape for the entire 7 years that they're at Hogwarts. And every time he like passes him in the halls, he calls him like a fucking weirdo.
Like snake bitch or something.
Yeah. Nice hair, dipshit. Yeah, like just makes fun of him. And one of the biggest things is that I think Harry's mom is also a villain as well.
No, because she liked Snape.
She did like Snape. But she saw how much of an asshole James was to Snape. Still picked him.
Yeah, that's true.
It seemed like she loved Snape and they had so much in common. And then it's like this guy comes up and he's making fun of her and she just like gets up from laying on the grass with Snape and just like goes off with James. It's yeah, like a total weird dick move.
Yeah, I will say that one thing I never understood. And because I just watching the movies, every time they showed James Potter, he looked nerdy as fuck. And I'm like, look at this nerd, like beating up on this guy. Like, that's not real life. Maybe, I mean, not like Snape didn't look any better, but like, you have like the little round glasses and you're over here like pushing kids in like the grass. Like, no.
It is a dick move. And he does look like a nerd, but I think that.
You mean look like a bitch?
As a nerd, you have to find somebody who looks like a bitch, i.e. Snape, to make you feel better so you can pick on somebody, at least.
That's true.
Because maybe we don't know this, maybe everybody's picking on James, and the only person that James can pick on is Snape.
Ooh, that is true. Like, there's like a bully food chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the more likely scenario.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, Cedric Diggory's dad. like they're all like the top of the food chain, and then it's like they're all picking on James.
Yeah, Cedric Diggory's dad is definitely on the top of the food chain for that one. And do you think Crumb's dad was at the top? Do you think he even went to Hogwarts?
No,
I can see Crumb's dad being like this alcoholic, like Eastern European or something.
Yeah, didn't they go to he would have gone to the
Romania,
German, the German one.
I thought it was like Romania or something, like Transylvania.
Was it?
I could be making shit up. he looked like Romanian or something.
That he would have gone to the one that they came from during the.
Oh, true. Yeah, because they didn't all go to Hogwarts. That's true.
Yeah, there's like different schools around the world.
So, all right. So James Potter. Yeah,
total dick. And yeah. It's like nobody ever calls him on it. Except for Snape, who obviously he's getting bullied, he would call him on it. But it's like nobody in the movie is like ever sticking up for Snape, except for Lily. But Lily's like still goes with James anyways.
Yeah, and it sucks too because like I'm sure if only Lily Potter got killed and James Potter survived, he'd be exposed immediately.
Yeah, he would.
Like Harry comes home, like say like James Potter's like single dad. New movie, like single dad, James Potter, just making it out in the real world while son goes to school. And he's like, how's your potions professor? That bitch. did he ever tell you how many times I picked on his ass or something?
Yeah, then I could see Harry like going back to Hogwarts and he's got his potions class. And he's like, my dad says you're a bitch, Professor Snape.
Oh my God! What if in the what was the mirror that he looks where he sees his parents?
I don't remember what it was called.
Oh no! Didn't like the mom was like a Patronus or some shit.
The mom's Patronus was the same as Snape's.
Yeah. No. Oh, now I remember. It's the God of Blood of Fire when he's fighting Voldemort, and like the parents come and save him.
Yeah.
Would have been funny is if, like, she's like, okay, son, I'll see you. And then James Potter was like, yes, I'll protect you. And he's like, by the way, tell Snape he's a bitch. Oh, man.
He, like, goes back. You know, at the end, like, when he teleports back and Snape's there, he's like, I saw my dad there. He told me to tell you that you're a bitch, Snape. And then Snape's like, God damn it, that motherfucker.
Even from the grave, he's got heaters. All right, cool. Well, my next guy, he's not a magician. He's not someone that has any, he doesn't really pick on people. But Kevin, I have a question for you. What's the one thing that immediately makes you an asshole? And it's like this can't be debated. This is a for sure thing. You do this and you're immediately an asshole. It doesn't matter what you do. And it's not even like an opinion.
Oh, God. A fedora.
You know what? I can't argue with that. But no, it's working for the Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know we were going that big.
Yeah. So my character is just an overall asshole because of his ties to the Nazis and for being a pain in the ass for Indiana Jones. And I'm talking about Paul Freeman as Renee Belloc in Raiders of the Lost Ark. So first Indiana Jones. French archaeologist. He's basically like Indiana Jones's rival. They're always after the same thing. And he's probably about as smart as Indiana Jones, but maybe not as like hardworking. So basically he's an asshole. He has the Jovitos tribe chase Indy. After Indy just fucking went in through a temple, almost got betrayed by Alfred Molina, almost getting killed, almost getting crushed by a giant rock. And then now he's got to run from like these Aztec tribe or whatever the hell they are in like South America. And there's that. Then he teams up with the Nazis, obviously, bad thing. And then he tries to fuck Indiana Jones' love interest, Marion, by getting her drunk. So this guy's like a date rapist frat bro that's a Nazi. But yeah, he hides behind the power of the Nazis during the entire movie. Could never really go toe-to-toe with Indiana Jones unless he had backup. And just like I said, he shows up after all the hard work has been done by Indiana Jones and steals the glory. He always says, once again, Jones, what was briefly yours is now mine. He's just a squirrely son of a bitch.
That's a dick move.
Yeah.
Everything he does is just it's a dick. It's just to be a dick.
Yeah, 100%. I also like the line he goes, sit down before you fall down. I never understood what that meant, but I was like laughed every time he said that. But yeah, thoughts on Belloc.
It's been a while since I've seen the movie.
Okay.
But I do remember him being just a fucking dick. Like everything, literally everything he said was just like a cut or like some remark towards Indy that's like, damn, man, you can't just take one break. You got to give me shit the whole time.
I know. Even when they're kind of like in like a parlay, when he's in Cairo before like all the crazy shit starts happening, like it's just dig after dig after dig after snide remark.
Yeah.
It's like, and the worst part is it's not like if Belloc was as good, like he would go in temples and like do all the bad shit and get stuff out of it, but he just has more than Indiana Jones. That'd be one thing. It's just like, he goes, he's like, all right, he's here. Let's just wait till he comes out. All right, hey, give me the artifact. It's now mine. Like, and I'm going to take all the glory from it. Plus Nazis. I mean, I don't even know if I need to say anymore. I mean, a worse villain could have been Adolf Hitler in Indiana Jones' Last Crusade. But even he wasn't that much of an asshole. He signed Indy's book. He signed the book. Let Indy get on his way.
You're saying this guy is a bigger villain than Hitler?
I'm saying he's a bigger asshole than Hitler.
Okay.
In the movies.
Okay.
In the yeah, movies. Okay. I mean, he was just an archaeologist. I mean, he didn't kill like millions of Jews. the ghosts got to him before that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Who's your next guy, man?
my last guy is pretty much a boss that everyone has had in their lifetime, and it's Bill Lumberg from Office Space.
Nice.
Dude's a dickhead. So you first kind of see this when he's asking the main character to work on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling he's salary. He's not hourly. So it's like, it's a tall order to ask somebody to come in on Saturday, let alone Sunday too.
Yeah.
So
what was their company, by the way?
It was Initech that they used to rewrite code or something for the year 2000 Switch.
Okay.
So it's a total late 90s movie where they're talking about the year 2000.
Isn't that Y2K?
Yeah.
Is that the Y2K stuff?
Yeah. So he starts off just by asking people to work overtime and all this stuff. And that's like, you know, your boss can ask you to do that. But it's really what he does to Milton, the guy that is something mentally wrong with him and loves his stapler a little too much. So first he goes to Milton and grabs his stapler out of his hand, just like fucking snatches it.
Yeah.
And that's second dick move right there. Then he comes back later.
Yeah, you just snatch stuff out of people's hands.
Then he comes back later, tells Milton that apparently they figure out that he's been fired and nobody told him and he still gets a paycheck. They fix the error and he stopped getting a paycheck. So Lumberg moves like all this storage shit into his office or his little cubicle. And that's third dick move. Fourth, he tells Milton to move down to the basement and also to spray it for bugs.
Wait, I thought he wasn't even working there anymore. He gets fired, right?
He gets fired at the end.
Oh, he gets fired at the end. Okay.
Lumberg does.
No, Milton.
Yeah, they say they fixed the glitch, so he doesn't get paid anymore, but he still shows up every day.
I see.
And then I think at the end is when he actually... I don't think he works there anymore at the end.
Well, I think he burns the whole place
down. I think that's why he burns it down.
It's because he got fired.
Yeah.
Real. Okay.
So, I could see your boss asking you to work on weekends if your salary, like, that could happen. Stealing a man's stapler, making his cubicle into a storage place, making him move downstairs, making him spray for bugs. That's not even his job. That's not even his job description.
And he's not even getting paid anymore.
No.
At the very least, pay him for that. Shit, that's like a Craigslist job.
I have a theory that they made him go down, spray for bugs, and then they told him that he was like fired because they didn't want to pay anybody to spray for bugs down there.
Oh, so
they needed the space. They needed the bugs gone.
Did he actually spray? I can't even remember. Did he actually spray for bugs?
It doesn't show it, but I know he hands him a can of Raid or something. It says there's bugs down there.
That's not the equivalent of hiring an exterminator at all.
No.
Is this the guy with a Raid can? I don't think so.
So this guy... it's not going to be like your mastermind dickhead asshole. Just a subtle, everything he does is to ruin your life. That kind of asshole. And it's probably somebody's boss.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably the most relatable. Like... I don't have that issue, but I used to at previous jobs hate my boss, so I can imagine like that's like the most relatable asshole because he's every one of those guys that acts like a dick.
Yep.
Doesn't exactly. He have sex with Jennifer Aniston?
No, she said that she had sex with Bill Lumberg, but it wasn't the same one.
Oh, okay.
But Peter thought it was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And he thought of them having sex. Wasn't there a scene where he thought of them having sex?
Yeah, and he's like, what's happening? While he's like having sex with her. Yeah.
That's right. So, one, are we still recording?
Yes.
Okay.
Both are still recording, yes.
I know, I kind of want to throw a little bonus story in there. Kevin, I know you've had... And you told me this story before, but I'm gonna listen to it again because it's pretty interesting. Your own ordeals with assholes on set.
Yeah. So back in 2012, that was the last film that I made, and it was for one of those challenges. Usually there's like 48 hours to make a movie.
Yeah.
This one was actually a six week challenge to make a 5-minute movie. And super fun. But we were going through the casting process, and 6 weeks for anybody that, like, that knows is not a lot of time, even for a 5-minute movie.
Really?
So we're going through, well, yeah, because you got to write it. It's from nothing. So you have to write it.
Oh, okay. It's from, okay.
Yeah. So we're going through the process and we're casting people. And one of the main characters that's cast is this guy who I've never worked with before. He's never acted, but he nailed the interview, or he nailed the
audition.
And
what did he do in his audition? Like, what was his character?
It was, he was an army lieutenant, and he knew how to talk, with confidence, like a lieutenant would. Like, he knew the nuances of it, because I guess his dad was in the military, so he kind of nailed it, how I wanted it to be.
Okay.
So we're shooting in northern Arizona. It's like a 2.5-hour drive. And we're
from your house, or from like.
From like central Phoenix.
Okay. Okay. Cause I'm like, fuck, that
could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Cause I live so far away.
Is that even in Arizona at this point? I don't know.
So we're, it's 2.5 hours north. It's like just south of Sedona.
Cool.
So we're getting ready in the morning, like really fucking early, like 5 a.m. And we're getting everything loaded up, and everyone's there except this guy, one of the main characters in the movie. So I call him, leave messages. Finally calls me back, and he sounds a little fucked up. Like, he sounds a little weird.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, I'll meet you up there. And my first thought is like, it's a 2.5-hour drive. It's not like up the road. How are you going to meet me there? So we make the trek all the way up there, and we're setting up all the gear and stuff. And we're waiting. He shows up 2.5 hours late. He gets out of the car, and he's fucking drunk off his ass, which means he had to have been drinking in the car.
For 2.5 hours? I'm surprised he even made it.
Yeah. So not only is he drunk, but there's something else. Like, he's high on something. I don't know what it is. And he's, like, really apologetic, but he's still freshly fucked up. So I'm pissed, because we probably just wasted this entire day.
Right.
And he's like, oh, just give me some coffee and I'll be fine. So we get him coffee. We wait like an hour. He seems fine. So we start shooting the first scene, and he throws up in the middle of the scene. So at that point I was like, we're done. Like, we're packing everything up. We're not going to work together. I'm going to recast, and you know, you're done. And he was like, no, please give me another chance. Like, please, please. I'm like, I don't have time. This is 6 weeks. We've wasted an entire day of shooting.
What was the scene that he threw up on?
It was the very first scene of the movie where they're just like standing around talking. And it was...
So soldiers, I'm gonna
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so luckily, so we had to recast, and we came back the next day, or the next weekend, so we wasted an entire week. And luckily I found somebody to fill in who was actually like way better, like really killed it.
Oh,
so,
okay, cool.
Got lucky there, but it was like, it was a horrible experience. And that was the last thing I ever did as a filmmaker, so that could have been like what caused me to stop doing stuff like that.
God damn, like that's did he end up being famous?
No, I've never heard from the guy since. Ooh. Since that day.
Do you even know if he made it back?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if people understand this. If people that are not from Arizona, like, the drive to just Sedona, it's like a state road, and it's like desert, and like some of it's like cliff stuff. So I'm pretty sure our friend is not with us anymore. Like, he is, driving drunk for 2.5 hours and then having to drive back after you just puked, like, you're not living. Like, that's not.
Yeah, that's a.
Unless he pulled over to the side and just slipped in his car, slipped it off. I don't know.
I would hope he would have done that if he was still fucked up.
Yeah. I would hope too. So yeah, guys, let us know if you know any. We did have a longer list of assholes on set, but, you know, wanted to switch things up. Thanks again for bearing with us for the second iteration of this episode. Luckily, we are still recording, so there's that.
Yep.
But yeah, so yeah, let us know any actors on set that you've heard were assholes, or even your favorite assholes in movies, because, you know, they're kind of necessary. They're there to hate. I feel like you hate the assholes more than you hate the villains, in my opinion. Unless the villain is a Nazi.
Yeah. That's the only time that an asshole is worse than a villain is when it's a Nazi.
Exactly. Yeah, so guys, I definitely want to give a shout out to some people that have been rating the show on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Again, if you could give us 5 stars on iTunes, or I don't even know if I'm assuming Google Play and Stitcher have the same thing.
I think so.
Probably not as important. The iTunes ones are more important to us because we can get on that front page for new and noteworthy. But a shout out to BS Pod Phoenix for that amazing review. Again, guys, if you give us 5 stars, and I think Kevin and I would both be happy, make sure to give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Wicked Hot Talk. And yeah, I guess that's about it. Kevin, I think we may have some t-shirts in the pipeline. At least the ideas in the pipeline.
We've made a few. Yeah, we made a few designs and we got a few more on the way. It's not just going to be logo tees. We're actually having like a little line.
Yeah.
And some concepts of t-shirts. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yep.
So episode 7.5.
Bye, everybody.